It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, if you've heard these before, or just welcome if you haven't. Mike Simpson here from KNX in Los Angeles. You're about to hear an interview with a candidate for California governor, but we're not in studio, we're not doing a forum. We're out grabbing drinks because I wanted a conversation. I wanted to get it this time before politics was as loud as it is right now. So I hope you get something out of this. Today it's a Democrat, a mayor running for governor.
Cheers. Cheers. Matt Mahan, thanks for doing this.
Yeah, likewise.
Matt Mahan's the mayor of San Jose, Silicon Valley. But one of the first things he's going to tell you is not to think of him as just some sort of tech guy, even though he does understand that world.
No, well, first of all, I grew up in a little farming town on the Central Coast. So I come from an ag town. My mom was a teacher. My dad was a letter carrier. I grew up in a union household. That's why we had health care. And my path to opportunity was education, and I know what it means to rely on public services.
We got a couple beers, some both had Modelo's at Descanso, not too far from the radio station, and came back to this idea I have, right? Why don't we do this kind of thing more often? Or why can't we?
I think most Americans can, but I think that our politics has become really partisan, and I don't think social media has helped. I think that people get rewarded for being the loudest, the meanest, the angriest. And I think ordinary people, when you go out and actually like knock on doors, go to the grocery store and somebody stops you, even if they disagree with you, they're still a human. But I think there's something about that screen that when you're behind it.
The anonymity of it.
Yeah, I think just feel they have license to be really rude and we stop listening. And so I don't know. I mean, I think this is a good idea. We've got to change the culture. I think it's on all of us.
So why do this? And why do this year in such a crowded field? I mean, if I do all these, there's like 10 of you guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's like a clown car. There's
yeah.
I mean, I jumped in just because I didn't hear anyone saying the things that were on my mind, and I think on the minds of a lot of my neighbors and the people I serve in San Jose, who I think are like, you know, Californians across the state, which is, you know, how is it that we're spending 75% more this year than we were 6 years ago, and nothing seems to be better? I mean, in a state as incredible as California, our natural beauty, our weather, resources, our universities, our population and its diversity, tech, agriculture, Hollywood. How is it that we have, they're the most expensive place, we have high crime, dirty streets, a homelessness crisis, we're not dealing with addiction and mental illness? It just doesn't, there's something wrong.
But if there's something wrong, is there something wrong with Democrats? Because they've been in control for a long time.
That's true. We have nobody to blame. And that's part of why I got in as well, is that the dynamic in this race, and it's kind of back to your first question, has been that, you know, the leading Republicans seem to be out there trying to be the most MAGA, and the leading Dems, the other leading Dems, seem to be trying to be the most anti-MAGA. And I think as Democrats, we have to stand for something. But we have to look in the mirror and acknowledge that we really can't blame anybody else for the state's failures. What's, you know, the outcomes we're getting in the state are really a reflection of the policies that we've implemented, and in many cases, I think, clung to even when they don't work. There's a number of examples. We should be teaching phonics in our schools. There was a fight against using the science of reading, even though other states are doing it. And there's more accountability in public education in a number of other states that are getting better outcomes. I'm a former public school teacher. I think we should change that. We don't build condos anymore because we had so many lawsuits over fading paint 10 years later that it's you know, impossible to finance condos, which means young people don't get that opportunity for entry-level home ownership. And the list goes on addiction and mental illness. We shut down the mental health hospitals, but we really can't blame Reagan anymore. I mean, he's been dead a long time. At some point, we got to say, it's on us. We got to fix it.
One of his other examples is homelessness. And this is somewhere where he's gotten a lot of press so far, with a lot of people wondering and asking, at what point do you take people and force them off of the streets?
We don't physically force people to do anything. Well, the good news is this: when you build basic dignified shelter, treatment centers, and do high quality outreach. I mean, you really take the time to get to know people, ask them questions, tell them and show them that there's a better alternative. The vast majority of people will come indoors. Our biggest barrier in California and in most of our big cities, but really across the state, is we don't have enough beds. Because of our nice weather, we've never been forced to build the shelter beds and the treatment beds that we need. If you actually build the capacity and do it cost effectively, you can reduce homelessness by 70%+. The people who are most visible, having the biggest impact on society and themselves, are suffering the most are people dealing with really severe addiction and mental illness. And I don't think it's progressive or compassionate to leave people to suffer and die on our streets. So I think what we really need is a third place. In San Jose today, because the state hasn't given us this sort of secure treatment option, we've had to use law enforcement to petition to get people into drug courts or mental health courts. So we're not locking people up, but we are trying to get them into a court where a judge can mandate treatment.
So if you've declined treatment multiple times and you're a danger to yourself or others, you have to go somewhere.
I think so. I think that's the compassionate thing to do. Certainly if you're a danger to yourself or others, but that has been interpreted to be such a high bar that almost no one meets it. I mean, we're at a point where unless somebody says that they want to take their own life or that of somebody else's, we're not bringing them indoors. And so we need to be more realistic and compel treatment when people's addiction is causing them to hurt other people, to commit crime. We still have a revolving door problem between the streets, our public hospitals, and our county jails. I think we should intervene earlier. We need a middle path. To me, that's treatment centers that are special purpose for detox, counseling, if necessary, and people accept it, medication. But for folks who are repeatedly committing crime or refusing any help, I think that involuntary detox, being mandated to go detox for 30 days, is the compassionate thing to do. I think it's better for the individual who's suffering from a severe addiction. I think it's better for society. I'm a pragmatist.
You're going to hear a few of these candidates during these interviews describe themselves that way. But I wanted to swing back to where we started before we finish. And that's that he comes from this area of Silicon Valley, of the big tech companies, of the AI companies. There's going to be change. How are we going to handle it?
The way I think about this broadly is we should regulate tech to protect our kids, protect our privacy, and create guardrails. But it would be a mistake to think that we can stop technological change. And it's better to have it happen in California, keep the high-paying jobs here, have the tax base here to educate and train our people, and if anything, try to get ahead of it. We set up something in San Jose called the GovAI Coalition with other cities around the country. We now have 900 public agencies focused on the responsible and ethical use of AI. We worked with our public university to create an AI upskilling curriculum that is training our workforce on how to use these tools to make their jobs more interesting and more productive and make sure they have the skills and the tools they need to stay employed, whether they stay at the city or choose to go somewhere else. I believe the antidote to technological change and minimizing the impact is to invest in people. You can weather these changes. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't need to change the way government works. I mean, who knows? In 10 years, will we need a UBI? Maybe. I hope not. I think there's a lot of value and dignity in work.
There is a thought, though, and maybe some of you out there have heard this one, that even the people building these companies don't know where this is headed.
Well, that's probably an honest answer, because when you build new tools, they can give you these incredible new capabilities. You can do all these amazing things. People are still figuring out how to apply these new tools. And I think it's important that our policymakers have a fundamental understanding of the new technologies that are changing the world and are monitoring that change. And we have to strike a balance between regulating them enough to protect our environment, protect our privacy, our children, but also allow them to grow here so that it doesn't happen to us. I don't want the tools of the future and the jobs of the future to be created in China or even another state. I do think it will likely be slower than people think. We should prepare for all of the scenarios, but I think it's more likely to be a 10 to 20 year transition. And the best thing we can do now is improve the quality of our public education, our public systems. There's a transition period here. I'm not saying it will be easy, but I also don't buy the doomerism view that it's going to change in a year and we're going to have mass unemployment and it's just going to be a crisis. We should prepare for all of the scenarios. I don't think these things are as black and white as some people, certainly some politicians, make them out to be.
I think we'll end it there. On that note, that a lot of these issues we talk about, nuanced.
We got to finish these beers. Thanks for having me.
Too much talking.
Appreciate it.
And thank you for being here. I'm doing this with a bunch of the candidates. Find them at knxnews.com, Apple Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you get your audio.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.